The Westminster Larger Catechism starts with this question: what is the chief and highest end of man? And it gives this excellent answer: man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. I read that for us because the psalm we are on this morning, Psalm 115, shows us the wisdom of living for that chief end and the way of living for that chief end, the wisdom and way of living for the glory of God. I invite you to open your Bibles, and if you're able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand recognizing that this is God's holy word. He is speaking to us. Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throats. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful for your word, which reveals to us who you are and reveals to us wisdom, how to truly live, how to enjoy you. Father, may you just deepen our understanding this morning and help us to respond as we should unto your glory and honor. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm calling my first point this morning the wise aim of life. The wise aim of life, which, as the Westminster Larger Catechism says, is to glorify God. In this psalm, we see the wisdom of glorifying the name of the Lord, recognizing Him, exalting Him, praising Him. We hear that aim in verse 1, which is a prayer. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. The psalmist didn't want Israel to be exalted. He didn't want himself to be exalted. He wanted God to be exalted. He wanted everyone to know that God was the reason for any good accomplishments made by Israel or by him. He wanted everyone to know that it was God's steadfast love and faithfulness at work. All good gifts come from God. He wanted everyone to know that. He wanted them to be focused on God. This excellent, wise prayer of the psalmist has spurred on others to live and pray the same way. Matter of fact, there have been some great historical moments when this prayer was lifted up. I'm going to tell you about one of them today that is very fitting to mention on this day after the Supreme Court ruling concerning abortion. The historical moment I'm referring to is the end of slavery in the British Commonwealth. I say it's a fitting example today because with both the end of slavery and the end of abortion, what is ending is the evil of certain human beings not being recognized, certain human beings not being protected. That's what's ending in both slavery and abortion. So this is very fitting today. Concerning the end of slavery, Stephen Lawson mentions in his commentary on the Psalms how Psalm 115, verse 1 was used. Quote, William Wilberforce, the famed British politician, was one of the great Christian statesmen of history. For years he fought against the evils of slavery and sought to outlaw it in the British Commonwealth. Wilberforce was also a loving and diligent student of the Psalms. On March 25, 1807, Parliament passed the bill for the abolition of the slave trade wherever the British flag flew. Wilberforce's response to this victory, by his own testimony, it was first to meditate upon his favorite verse, Psalm 115, verse 1, and give glory to God. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. This should be our first and foremost response as well to everything that God chooses to accomplish through us. William Wilberforce was wise to lift up that prayer. And today, every church and Christian who has worked to end abortion should pray, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name, give glory. And as Stephen Lawson says in his commentary, we should pray that whenever God chooses to accomplish something through us. That is wise living. Because we were created for God's glory, and we were redeemed for God's glory, and we are being sustained for God's glory, and our joy is in God's glory. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 36. He says, "For from him, from the Lord, and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." Amen indeed. We exist for the glory of God. All good things are from the Lord and empowered by the Lord. Therefore, whether we live a long time or a short time, whether we are married or single, whether we are rich or poor, whether we are a world leader or a common laborer, our ultimate aim should be to glorify the Lord of the heavens and the earth. And specifically, we should glorify the name of the Lord. Don't miss that focus in this psalm. The psalmist prays, "To your name give glory." This is not the first time we have seen the name of the Lord be the focus. I am adding to the screen some verses from Psalm 113, which we looked at two Sundays ago. Three times in that psalm, there is a call to praise the name of the Lord. His name is focused on because there is only one true living God, and he is to be distinguished from all other gods. By his name, which he has made known, he is to be distinguished. 2 weeks ago, I explained the importance of his name, Yahweh, which is the word translated Lord, all capital letters. Yahweh means I am. I am, I am, and it's the name that God gave Moses at the burning bush. The name tells us much about God. And I also explained the importance of the name Jesus, which means Savior. We are not merely to glorify the idea of a divine being. We are to glorify the one true living God who has revealed himself to us in the Bible and as a human being in this world. We are to glorify the Lord Jesus. Psalm 115 starts by lifting up a prayer with that aim. That's verse 1. Now, after this prayer, the psalmist emphasizes the wisdom of living for the glory of the Lord by focusing on the foolish aim of life. That's my next heading, the foolish aim of life, which is to glorify an idol. Verses 2 through 8 make it very clear how foolish it is to glorify an idol. The verses begin with a question. Verse 2 asks, why should the nations say, where is their God? That was obviously happening when this psalm was written. The people from other nations were not only not glorifying the one true living God, they were mocking him. They were deriding the Lord by asking the question, well, where is he? Where is your God? That was their question because unlike the other nations, the God of Israel could not be seen. The nations made for themselves idols that could be seen. They made images of their gods. The Israelites, by the express command of God, did not make an image of God. In Exodus 20, we hear the second of the Ten Commandments. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. That command made Israel different than the other nations around them. The God of Israel could not be seen. And the nations mocked, saying, well, where is their God? The nations thought they were wise. The next verses show they were not. Verse 3 says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Just because you cannot see God doesn't mean he isn't there. He is indeed there, and we should know he is there because he has shown us he is there. Throughout history, God has made it very clear that he sits on the highest throne and that he does as he pleases. Let me remind you at this point in the sermon that we are looking at the first group of the Hallel Psalms, Psalms 113 through 118. The word Hallel means praise, and the first group of Hallel Psalms was used to give praise to God when celebrating the Passover in remembrance of God rescuing his people from Egypt. That event is one great historical example that God sits high above all other thrones, and he does as he pleases. We heard some of that history last week when we looked at Psalm 114. That psalm is about the Lord taking his people out of Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. He did so with ease. He did so as he pleased. He parted the Red Sea to let them leave Egypt. He parted the Jordan River for them to enter into the promised land. He showed his presence by shaking Mount Sinai. He provided water from a rock in the wilderness. That is recorded history. If you take that history seriously, as you should for several reasons, one of them being there's non-biblical evidence of the Exodus event. If you take that history seriously, then you know that even though God can't be seen, he can be known. He exists. He does as he pleases. He sits high. Verse rightly 3 says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. The Lord Jesus is the one who should be glorified, not an idol. And after declaring that truth, the psalm then describes the idols of the nations which can be seen. Verse 4 says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. The psalmist mentions here the expensive idols, and not the idols made out of wood, the idols made out of silver and gold, the idols made out of valuable material. And his point is that even though they are made of valuable material, they are still made by human hands. Therefore, the material that they are made of does them no good. Listen to what the psalmist goes on to say, verses 5 through 8. They have mouths, but do not speak. Eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel. Feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. The psalmist is pointing out the absurdity of critiquing God who cannot be seen when their idols, who can be seen, are powerless and can do nothing. You can see they have a mouth, but they can't speak. You can see they have eyes, but they can't see. You can see they have a nose, but they can't smell. You can see they have hands, they cannot feel. They have feet, they can't walk. It's foolish to live for the glory of such idols. But that's what the nations did. And today, sadly, some people still do so. There remain in our world idols made by human hands, formed out of material by human hands. They have mouths, they have eyes, but they can't do anything. And even more so today, even more so, there are idols made by human minds. This is the most dangerous. The idols made by human minds. Meaning people define God however they want to define Him. When they do so, they are using their minds to form an idol. Even in Christian churches, there are such idols. When we start to twist or ignore the Scriptures so Jesus becomes the God we want Him to be instead of the God the Scriptures reveal, we are using our minds to shape and mold and create an idol we bow down to. Some people worship a Jesus who has no hell, who does not condemn, who will save all people. He doesn't exist. Some people worship a Jesus who approves of everything they happen to approve of and who condemns what they happen to condemn, even if the Scriptures say otherwise. That Jesus doesn't exist. Some people worship a Jesus who gives them all the wealth and health that they can dream of. We have to be careful not to create such idols with our minds. That is one of the reasons we are committed here to hearing the whole counsel of the Word of God. We want to hear the revelation of who Jesus really is. We want His Word, His revealed Word, to shape our thinking about Him, our understanding of who He is, so that we worship Him and not an idol we have made with our minds. Idols made by the human mind are just like idols made by human hands. They do not speak, they do not see, they do not hear, they do not smell, they do not feel, they do not walk with you. Now, concerning all such human idols, the saddest, most serious truth is stated in verse 8 of Psalm 15, of Psalm 115. Let this verse sink in. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. Wow. That statement reveals the significance of worship. Dear friends, what you worship, what you glorify, shapes who you are and what you do. I'll say that again, and I'm going to put it on the screen. What you worship, what you seek to glorify, shapes who you are and what you do. Those who worship an idol become like their idols. Just like their idols can't see, just like their idols can't hear, just like their idols can't speak, neither can they. They cannot see the truth. They cannot hear the truth. They cannot speak the truth. To help us think about what verses 8 is saying, I'm going to read a New Testament passage. Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. In this passage, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He's talking to them about people who did not believe in Him, which means He's talking about people who worship something other than Him. They worship an idol. Here is what Jesus says. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. The Jews who refused to believe in Jesus were idolaters, and they became like their idol." Unable to hear the truth, unable to speak the truth, to understand the truth. That's what Psalm 115 is speaking of. When you worship, what you worship, what you glorify shapes who you are and what you do. And that message emphasizes that the wise aim of life is to glorify the name of the Lord. For when you glorify the name of the Lord, you become more and more like the Lord Jesus. I'll just insert something here as another graphic example of what the psalm is speaking of. I can't get this image out of my mind, and it just hits me with this. So a picture of a woman very clearly pregnant, and written on her stomach were the words, "Not a human being." That's blindness. You can't see. Because you're like your idol. And after this message about the foolish way of life, the psalmist gives what I will title the wise way of life. That's my next overall point, the wise way of life. Listen to verses 9 through 11. O Israel, trust in the Lord. Notice it's his name, Yahweh. Trust in him, Yahweh. He is their help and their shield, O house of Aaron. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield, O you who fear the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. There's a lot of repetition in those verses. Three times the psalmist declares, trust in the Lord. Dear Christians, that is the foundational way of glorifying the Lord. You glorify him by trusting in him, trusting in his promises, trusting in his sovereign care for you, trusting in his holy laws. I'll give you an analogy. This is an analogy I've used before to explain faith, but it's also a great analogy to help us think about how trust gives glory. How trust gives glory. Imagine with me that you are watching a famous tightrope walker go across a deep canyon. You are at the top of the canyon with him, and you watch him walk back and forth on that rope with ease. And then he amazes you even more. He rides a bicycle back and forth across that rope, and still he's not done amazing you. You watch him walk back and forth on that rope while juggling flaming sticks. I mean, this guy is incredible. And every time he does something, you just clap and you cheer as you see what he's doing. You glorify him with your applause. And you also glorify this tightrope walker by telling everyone around you, look at that guy, he's the best, look at him. You're so excited about him, you can't contain yourself. You run around telling everyone, he can do anything on that rope. He's extraordinary. You gladly give him that praise with your lips. Now you are such a big fan. The tightrope walker notices you. And he comes to you and he says, I'm really glad you're my fan. I'm glad to hear you're telling everyone I'm the best and I can do anything on this rope. Because you praise me with your lips, I now ask you, climb on my back. Let me carry you back and forth. It's going to be fun. You'll get to experience what it's like there out there on the rope over the canyon. Come on. Climb on my back. Let's go. Now, suddenly the danger of that situation would be a whole lot clearer, wouldn't it? You look at that canyon. Wow, it's pretty deep. If you said no, if you said, I'm too afraid, what would that make all of your previous applause and verbal compliments? Answer, it would make all your previous applause and verbal compliments shallow. And here's the point of the analogy. Where when you are asked to trust the tightrope walker with your life, that is when you will either truly glorify him or not. If you say, no, I'm too afraid, you're going to dishonor him. If you say, I will go, but only if I have a safety net underneath, that will demean his ability. But if you trust him with your life, so that you instantly, with no hesitation, climb on his back, and you let him take you over that canyon with no safety net, you'll give him great glory. Trust is a foundational way we give glory. So if the aim of your life is to worship and glorify the Lord, you will trust him. You will trust his promises. You will trust that his laws are good and right. You will trust him with your life. You will look to him as your help and shield with calm confidence. That's the way of God glorifying living. And this word of God is calling for us to live that way. And so as application, I ask you, are you doing so? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you trusting his promises? Are you trusting his laws? Are you trusting his sovereign power to care for you? Are you trusting his grace to fully save you? Are you trusting with prayer? Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. Trusting him is application. And so to spur on that application, the psalm ends declaring what is the outcome of wise living. That's my next title, Outcome of Wise Living. Listen to verses 12 and 13 again. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. With poetic repetition, these verses declare that God will bless us, meaning you don't lose life. When you live for God's glory, you gain life. Living for God's glory doesn't diminish your life, it increases your life and also the life of your children. Listen to verse 14, may the Lord give you increase, you and your children. Do you want to bless your children and your grandchildren, the next generation? Do you want to bless the children we baptized this morning? Live at all times for the glory of Jesus. With trust in his sovereign care, with trust in his laws and all of his promises, offer your lives fully to him. Obey him. Do what he calls you to do. Serve him. Gather to worship him. Give of your possessions to him. Give of your time to him. Do what he calls you to do. Your life will not diminish if you do so. It will increase and you will bless your children, for in you they will see the glory of Christ. And not only will the Lord bless us as we live in that way, we learn in the last verses of the psalm that we will then bless the Lord forever, or in other words, we will worship and give praise to the Lord forever. We will glorify him forever. Listen to verses 16 through 18. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. If we trust in the Lord, not only will we glorify him here in this life, we will glorify him forever. That will be our great joy, a joy the dead will not have. The dead are those who did not trust in Jesus. They will not only miss out on the joy of giving him glory with their lips and their lives in this life, they will miss out on giving him glory with their lives forever. That's a devastating statement. Don't miss it. Ponder it. The dead did not praise the Lord. So let me ask you now, what's going on in your life? Is your aim to glorify the Lord Jesus as he has revealed himself in the scriptures, or are you living for something else? As you think about that, I want to read to you a New Testament passage, a good passage to close on today. Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." Dear friends, we have all failed to glorify the Lord as we should. We have all at times been blind to the truth. I gave an example earlier, but we've all at times been utterly blind to the truth, following our idols. ourselves. We have not glorified the Lord as we should. We are all guilty. We've all sinned. We've all been idolaters at times. And therefore, we all deserve to be the dead who go to the grave in silence, not able to glorify Jesus, the Lord. But God is merciful. And He has provided a way for us to be cleansed and saved. He has provided us a way to glorify Him. That way is through Him. It is through Jesus who came and lived the life we should live and who died the death that we should die, that we might be forgiven and we might be cleansed, as we saw a sign and seal of this morning, and enabled to live differently. If you are not yet living for the glory of Jesus, you can begin to live for His glory right now by trusting in Him for the salvation He so graciously, mercifully came to give. Confess your sins. Ask Him to cleanse you. Ask Him to fill your life with His Spirit and to lead you. He will not turn you away. Listen again to God's holy word to all of us this day from Psalm 115. O Israel, O first church, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. A house of Aaron, those of you in the sanctuary today, trust in the Lord God. He is your help and your shield. There is no other. You who fear the Lord, well, trust in Him. He is indeed your help and your shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. Let's believe those words and respond to those words unto the glory of our Lord Jesus. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we thank You that long ago You inspired this psalm to be written today that speaks perfectly clear truth to every age, every people group, every nation, every place. We thank You, Father, that through Jesus we can know the joy of glorifying You, of living for the reason You created us. And Father, we know from Your word that that is where our joy lies, in Your great glory. Father, by Your grace, by the work of Your Spirit and word in our minds, in our hearts, may we trust in You. May we know who You really are. May the words that You have given us reveal to us more and more who You are, that we might see clearly, not worship an idol, but worship You. May we trust in all Your promises, Your sovereign care, your laws to us. May we trust it all and follow You now and always. Be glorified this day and every day through we, Your people. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing together, sing praise.